We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. Got one more hour left here on Sports Talk. We're going to go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. We're going to go to James and Jefferson. James, in the huddle with Bobby and Mike and Deuce.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. Listen, I can't be any more upset than hearing about Nielsen moving to Atlanta. But listen, and I'm not going to dwell on that, what Nick said, because he said something about D.A. being a coach. I'm going to leave that alone. I'm not taking a bit on this one. This is what I really wanted to discuss was the combine. And you know, we're not in the playoffs this year, so my mind's really not even going on the playoffs right now. It's really on the combine. I'm gonna play like the GM. I'm hoping that we get that Sean gives us a number one pick. Let's say it's the Cardinals. Let's say it's the Cardinals, right? So he got the third round pick. Now I know this may not happen, but I'm just gonna tell you. I'm gonna give you like six guys who I think is gonna be a real. If we get three of these six, it's gonna be one of the best drafts we ever had. The first guy, hear me out, Mike. I know you're going to disagree. The first pick I want is not going to be quarterback. It's going to be Paris Johnson, left tackle, Ohio State. He used to play guard, and he's got footwork like the best left tackle last year, Cross, who went to Seattle. Okay?
The from Mississippi State,
Ohio State.
He's talking about he was like Cross.
He was like Cross.
Paris is at Ohio State. Yeah.
He's my number one tackle. He's my number one rated tackle in this draft class.
Right. So the quarterback is going to be, it's not going to be any guys you're thinking about. And the only reason why I'm going to pick this guy is because I'm hoping, you know, I'm the GM. I'm hoping I'm going to give Lombardi get some respect put back on his name, come back to us, and coach the kid from Stanford, 6'6", 230, to play quarterback, not as a starter, but he's got the skill set. He's probably number two right now, second round pick that is right now. But before Scott Combine is over, somebody's going to sneak up and put him in the first round, I'm sure.
Have you seen him move, James? Have you seen him move in the pocket? He's a statue. He's a statue. Tell me those guys
in the NFL. GM, we're trying to fight for you, GM. You got to listen to us now. GM, you got to listen to us.
Okay, but listen, Deuce, I'm going to give you the best player in the entire draft right now as we speak. The best player in the entire draft. He's the best player in the entire draft, and he's the best running back since Marshall Faulk.
Bijan Robinson. And he'd probably be a 20s pick in round one.
He's not going to even be top 10.
He's going to be a 20s pick in round one. I'm telling you.
That's because he's his position. He's the
best
player.
I agree with that.
And he runs wide receiver routes, just like Marshall. That's why I call him Marshall.
Wait, help me out. Is that the Kansas State kid?
No. He is from Texas.
That's Deuce Vaughn.
Deuce Vaughn.
Deuce is a little bitty guy.
I like Deuce Vaughn because I like Darren Sproles.
Yeah.
I
mean, but Bijan's a big man, and he can catch the ball. I agree with you. But I think he's going to end up being a 20s pick. It's just the devaluation. I don't disagree with you that he's a really good player. But in the world today – running backs, they're not going to pick him up.
And I hate it, but, I mean, he won't be top 10.
No, he won't be top 15.
Yeah.
I think somebody may fall in love with him. And now I'm calling, like, fringe 15. Like, right
17,
there.
17, 19.
Hey, that counts as top 15.
Yeah, no, okay, I get it.
I'm glad Deuce brought that up.
Hold on, Bobby. We still got a caller. We got our GM. GM, what other move you going to make?
What other move, GM?
So the other guys, believe it or not, are going to come from a school that nobody cares about. South Dakota State. They got South Dakota State.
They got an offensive lineman that's a first rounder.
Cody Mark from North Dakota State.
Now,
man, Cody can play. And he's going to the Senior Bowl. Cody Mark.
I like Goddard now. That tight end.
GM, you can't send us out to scout and then not know the players or the personnel, GM.
But they got a guy over there. They got a guy over there that's a tight end. He's 6'7".
Yeah, I agree with you.
He can catch the ball, but he's a good blocker. And I think he'll add to whatever you thought Trotman was going to be. He's going to be that guy. He's going to help out
Trotman.
And then there's another guy. Are you talking about the guy with the short arms, Mike, from South Dakota State?
No. Cody Mark don't have short arms.
I like short arms tackle as well. Don't fall in love with the trap.
Don't get caught in that.
His arms aren't long enough to be able to handle the long arm rush. Come on,
Trauman. Cincinnati's
got a guy like that right now that's playing left tackle. But the point is that the guy that I'm thinking of has short arms, but they're going to kick him in at guard, and he's from South Dakota State.
Man, okay.
But the tight end you're bringing about?
No, that dude can play.
He is really good.
One more guy for Deuce.
Come on.
McIntosh, the running back from Georgia.
I like him, but, I mean, he's not a first-rounder, if that's what you're talking about.
No, he's more of a third- or fourth-round pick.
The last three guys, I'm just talking about adding to the team that will enhance the ball club, because AK is going to be out, and plus, we need a fresh start at running back.
We need a power runner.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you need a power runner. So I don't like McIntosh if I am putting him as my number two guy.
Hey, listen, I don't know any future tight end we get. I want to SOB like Jordan. Talk to that dude. I mean, he's like a freak.
So you want Washington, you want the Notre Dame tight end.
No, that Notre Dame tight end's
there. If he's like George Kittle, then I want him. Trautman, he does a great interview. That doesn't mean he can play football. He does good with the media, and he's nice and all that.
Okay.
He's well spoken.
Why Kittle lasted so long? He didn't get along with Kurt Ferentz at Iowa. Because they thought he was a flake.
And he might be, but the flake can play. Hey, listen. George Kittle, you getting a barroom fight? I want him on my side.
Thanks, Dave. We appreciate the call. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister, and on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking Text Line, Ben Rothenberg, a host of the No Challenges Remaining podcast, covers the tennis circuit, and Bobby's been waiting all day to talk to you, Ben, so thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for coming on, Ben. And you look at it, boy, I was kind of impressed. You look at the Australian Open, a lot of young, up-and-coming Americans who maybe we're not familiar with, There was Battle of Americans. You look at the quarterfinals and going forward. And that we haven't really seen this when you look at the Australian Open semifinals since 2009, since Andy Roddick. I mean, what's your take and where we at with as far as players? You know, I think we love the sport if a lot of players are representing our country. But what's your take on that?
No, absolutely. This is a big tournament for a lot of the American guys showing up and a lot of the sort of depth guys who weren't really the ones being most talked about. I mean, the number one American right now is Taylor Fritz, who's in the top 10. Francis Tiafoe is number two. He made the U.S. Open semifinals last year, and neither of those guys were in this group of three people who had three Americans in the eight guys in the quarterfinals. So that was a big breakthrough for just showing the depth of American men's tennis right now. And that's kind of been the case a little bit. It's been a little bit of sort of quantity over quality, but now a lot of that quantity that we're having in like the top 50 of the rankings is bearing out pretty deep in the biggest tournament. So it's definitely positive signs for the future.
Now, Ben, pardon the pun, but look at Ben, you know, going against Tommy Paul. But Ben Shelton, I mean, coming out of nowhere, he hadn't even left the country. He's just 20 years of age, less than a year after winning the NCAA title at University of Florida. All of a sudden, he's traveling outside the United States for the first time, participating in his second Grand Slam tournament. So what do you think the prospects with Ben Shelton and maybe like Tommy Paul going forward?
Yeah, really good. I think Ben Shelton's someone who's been on the American tennis radar a bit because, you know, we follow the NCAA tennis and he's won two of those titles. But outside of the U.S., people had not heard of him really at all. He hadn't left the U.S. ever. And tennis is obviously a very international sport the way the tour is set up. So he impressed a lot of people. He's got a lot of game. He's a big, tall, strong guy, lefty, which is a big advantage in tennis. Gets a different sort of spin to the shots. It's going to throw people off. And yeah, he's been really, really impressive to see so far, and definitely someone with a big upside. And he's making a quarterfinal in Australia. I think it's definitely ahead of schedule where people thought he would be, but it's not a surprise to do it at some point in his career. So he's gotten off to a very strong start in his first trip outside the U.S., and he'll take some growing pains getting used to, you know, the travels of the tour and all the different time zones and stuff. It's a different sort of challenge of lifestyle that he'll have to adjust to, but the game is absolutely there, and he showed that really well this week.
Now, Ben, what is your take? And I think, my opinion, I think he's going to take advantage of his opportunity at being Djokovic. You look at Roger Federer retiring. You look at Nadal, the injuries that he's dealing with. And then I look at Djokovic. We all know about the vaccine and dealing with Australia, but he's back in the country. Yeah. What he's won his past, 11 sets and dropped a total. I was reading about like a total of 27 games in that span. He's chasing, my understanding, his 10th championship at Melbourne. So what is your take? I mean, when all said and done, will Djokovic be the greatest of all time? I mean, when you consider...
He's in that conversation.
Because you look at the winning streak at the Australian Open with 26 matches. That's equaling, my understanding, maybe Andre Agassi for the longest run there in the Open era. What did you take? Now, some people like to serve. They like to serve, or they don't like him. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
he wins.
It's the greatest. Yeah. He wins a lot for sure, and he's in the greatest conversation, absolutely. And he's absolutely,
no question.
I think, probably almost certainly going to be winning that sort of debate purely on a number stats basis, right? Like that's where he's going to run.
Yeah,
where he's going for his 22nd Grand Slam title, Grand Slam singles title in the final. Against Tsitsipas, that would tie him for most ever among the men at 22, one behind Serena at 23. It shows the kind of level that she's still at above all those guys. He's absolutely there. And I think, you know, where he loses points in the debate is sort of on all the controversy he's generated and not sort of being the bringing the popularity or the sort of spirit that people like Federer and Nadal have brought. And that's sort of where he gets his knocks. But purely on the paper and on lifting trophies, he's as good or better than anybody has ever been.
Now, you know, Ben, going back to America, United States, and boy, and I think you look at McEnroe, you look at Jimmy Connors and all that, you look at Andy Roddick, the last man from the U.S. to win a Grand Slam singles tournament at the U.S. Open. That was 20 years ago. But all of a sudden, I look at a number of American players that are making it like to the quarterfinals. Then all of a sudden, you look quarterfinals, semifinals, maybe the finals. I mean, what do you look for the next decade with American players going forward, maybe representing? And it's not going to be a lull like we had so long since Andy Roddick.
Ben, well, yeah. I'll piggyback off what Bob was saying. I read an article about with IMG, and you know that was a place at one time that everybody went to, and now that's sort of revitalized again. And they have people at IMG saying that they have a group of young 14, 15, 16-year-olds that they think may be the best that's ever passed through IMG. So, man, if that's true, then you've got really something for the next 10, 12 years.
Yeah, look, there's kids like that all over the world, and it's a really global sport. That's made it so tough for Americans a lot of times.
Yeah.
The map has gotten a lot bigger for tennis in all these different countries. You know, like the best tennis player we're talking about is Serbian, you know, from Djokovic, and that wasn't a country that was so much on the tennis map in the days of, you know, Agassi, Sampras, McEnroe, all those guys you named. So it's been tougher for sure, and this is a really meaningfully long drought for American men's tennis. I mean, it'll be 20 years in September since Andy Roddick won the last American man Grand Slam title, and that's an incredibly long drought. And I don't think that's going to keep going much longer. I do think we're on the tail end of that. I do think within the next 2-3 years, maybe even to be a little bit conservative, like I think that there's going to be somebody breaking through. There's just so many numbers of people coming, and also the guys who have really had the stranglehold on the sport, Federer, Nadal, Djokovic, are getting older and, you know, fading away from the game. Even if Djokovic is still obviously a big favorite to win this title, he's only getting older. He's, you know, turned 36 this year, and he's going to be on the bit of the downslope of his career eventually. So there will be opportunities. I do think Americans are well positioned just purely with the numbers of talented sort of top 20 caliber guys they have to be very much in the fighting for those prizes once they get the upper grabs again.
Ben, I got a text to talk a little bit about the women's game and your thoughts on the younger generation of women's tennis players from the United States and the impact they could potentially have.
Yeah, but you're competing with the world. And,
you are competing.
And you say you might want the Americans to win, but not so fast.
Yeah, no, it's definitely like it's not dissimilar than the men, really. I mean, the women, especially a lot of Eastern European.
It's similar.
Women,
so what you're saying?
Yeah,
it's come up. They've come up, and the women have had haven't had anywhere near the drought the men have had. I mean, because the Williams sisters were there, flying the flag all through, you know, the last 20 years, pretty much, and winning lots of titles and keeping American women up there. And then also there are several other women who also won Grand Slam titles around then. Most recently was in 2020 for the women at the Australian Open, so not that long a drought at all compared to the men. But still, you know, it's still a tough ball game out there. And I think the main prospect from the young American women for sure is Coco Gauff, who is still only 18 years old. She made her debut at Wimbledon in 2019, and she was just 15, beat Venus Williams in the first round. I realize a lot of road ahead of her. You know, she hasn't made it to a Grand Slam semifinal or final yet, so I'm sure she's getting a little impatient just because she's been in the conversation for so long. But she's got a really bright future ahead of her and in the top 10 already, and it's someone who should be absolutely looked at as being a real meaningful force. And then there's a lot of other players for sure coming up in the teams. And in women's game, there hasn't really been the same sort of learning curve there has been on the men's side, where, you know, guys aren't breaking through till like their mid-20s now, it seems like. Women's side, it's still possible for even a teenager or, you know, someone in their early 20s to come relatively out of nowhere and break through pretty quickly to win a title.
And you know what's crazy, Ben? Where do you represent? And I'm like thinking Kazakhstan. She don't look like Kazakhstan. Am I putting it correct? Maybe I thought that was Mongol territory. But I'm looking, okay, she was born in Moscow. And then Kazakhstan going to represent her and give her, I guess, a bunch of money and all that. So she's playing for that country. So we might see more of that. All of a sudden, Belarus, Kazakhstan, whatever might come about. Then all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, Kazakhstan, they even have a tennis court? I didn't even know that. I'm thinking like, to think of, that's not far-fetched. Am I outrageous thinking that?
No, that's actually a really good That's a really good observation, actually. I'm impressed you picked up on that. Yeah, because Kazakhstan has had a program for about 10, 15 years now where they're paying some of these sort of lower-ranked Russian players, almost all Russians, to switch their affiliation from Russia to Kazakhstan in order to really put Kazakhstan on the map and get, you know, Kazakhstan's not getting mentioned on the radio in New Orleans without having tennis players in the finals.
Not much.
So I know it.
Bobby
Hebert will.
I know it because I love history and I caught that. I go, what? She don't like it. Okay, she's from Moscow. I understand that. And the Soviet Union and all that. Okay, that's why Kazakhstan took care of her. I mean, I even see the crowd that's cheering for her. They look like Mongols. I mean, it's like Mongolia. I mean, it's the whole area. Because I know history. I know territories. Yeah. And when I see her, but that she's a stud and representing Kazakhstan.
Yeah, there's actually one or two ethnic Kazakh players that they do have who are a more homegrown talent. But the majority of the Kazakh players who are coming up are these Russians who they were able to lure over with the promise of funding their careers, you know, giving them resources that the Russian Federation wasn't giving them. And it's been a big boon for the Kazakh Federation. And it's also helped out. You were talking about Rybakina, who's the player who's in the Australian Open Final Women's side, won Wimbledon last year. And and it's helped her career too. It's been a good deal for both sides, really, because she wasn't getting the attention or the coaching support or things like that from the Russian Federation, which is pretty disorganized and kind of big and overlooked her. But Kazakhstan's been ready for her, and she's, you know, made some history under their flag. And it's also helped her because there's all these bans about, you know, Russian athletes competing now and taking away their flags and stuff. So she's sort of found a safe harbor from that under this Kazakh flag.
Well, I can tell you what, a stud girl that beat Coco from Latvia. Man, if I get in the fight, I want her on my side. I mean, she was a stud.
She can take care of herself.
Oh, good. Strong. I'm like, I'm looking at her. We want Coco to win, but I was like, it's maybe not as powerful. I mean, you got to play on the court. You got to win. But I was impressed, and I'm looking at, like, whether, you know, you look at the Baltic states, whether it's Latvia, Estonia, whatever, and all that. So it's amazing now where tennis is at, that if you truly want to play and you have ability, that it's almost like the NFL and the combine, they'll find you wherever you're at. You're not going to disappear. You have an opportunity if you're playing at a high level.
This is more like the NBA, though, isn't it?
Yeah, international.
Because it's international.
Yeah.
How that's went.
No, absolutely. It's a lot like the NBA. NBA, I think, is the best analogy for the American sports. Like, it's just kind of more and more global. The resources it takes to develop a player, you know, NBA, all you really need is a ball and a hoop somewhere. And you can play anywhere and develop that talent. Tennis is, you know, a little bit more expensive equipment sometimes with the courts and rackets and balls and stuff. But it's not, the barrier to entry is still pretty low, and there's courts all over the world. It just takes, you know, one parent with a dream of seeing their daughter or son be a champion someday to sort of have that tunnel vision and that mentality and that dream and that blueprint to follow. And these champions can be grown anywhere. It's not just, you know, you mentioned IMG. It's not just the sort of Florida academies anymore that can they can sprout up.
Because at one time, that
really
was it.
Anywhere.
It was really IMG. Everything.
Yeah, you look at Chris Evert and all that. Yes.
Passed through IMG. Ben, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. We really appreciate it. We'll have you back soon. And thank you so much.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Ben Rothenberg, who is the host of NCR/Tennis Podcast, senior editor at RacketMagazine.com. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870. We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. We're going to go back to our Oakland Hard Dealers talking text line. We're going to go to John in Abita Springs. John, you're in the huddle with Bobby Mike Deuce.
Hey, Bobby Mike Deuce. What's going on? Ready, break, let's win for a change. I wanted to see what y'all think. I wanted to see what y'all think about. I know he's got a year left on his contract with KC, about Eric Bieniemy going after that guy as a head coach, because he's killing it with Mahomes. He's a local boy to boot. He may compliment DA, keep DA as a defensive guy. And then, you know, with the corral of wide receivers we have and the underusage of Alvin Kamara this past year, I mean, what do y'all think? I mean, that seems like a no-brainer.
Well, the question I would ask you is why I think it's out of sight, out of mind, it's passed by, why he is not having any interviews. I mean, he didn't take advantage of it in previous years, that being Eric Bieniemy. So he's not even in the conversation going forward.
I'm not hating on nobody. Offensive coaches, and it's strange that Eric has not got that. Say spot.
Okay.
But I think everything throws on Andy Reid.
Okay.
That is Andy's offense.
Mike brought this up to me, Deuce. I don't know if this is an observation.
I think if once Andy retires, that's the job he takes over.
He may well be the guy.
That's the job he takes over.
Right.
I mean, because because this cycle of all the coaches' names that have been mentioned,
he has not
got one interview from it. So, him having 1 year, I mean, where would you bring him in right now?
Yeah, you can't right now. He's got a year left, you know. Yeah.
But I'm just saying, the Saints don't have an opening anyway, though.
That's true. Well, how long has DA got? Two years left or one?
On his contract?
No,
he got a producer in 2023.
No, he probably has three. Even if I'm on the hot seat, I still signed a 4-year contract.
Yeah.
No, got you guys. Well, I want to hear your thoughts on that, man.
No, I'm telling you.
Okay.
There's something kind of set because of Andy Reid.
Okay, Mike told me this. Deuce, I don't know if you observed this. I was watching in and out, but Mike told me this. And I trust Mike. That all of a sudden, Pat Mahomes is hurt.
Yeah.
And Chad Henne comes in the game.
Took him 96 yards.
And 98 yards. You know who was calling the plays? Andy Reid.
You saw Andy. All of a sudden, I got it.
All of a sudden, okay, I trust Eric Bieniemy and you work with Pat Mahomes. But when Chad Henne went in there, he goes, okay, I'm going to take this over. I'm just saying. Now, listen, Eric Bieniemy, you're going to have good soldiers and a number of coaches know the offense. But I'm telling you, when going to hit the fan and Chad Henne's in there, Andy Reid was calling the play.
So Andy's got huge influence on that, just like Sean Payton did here in New Orleans.
Yeah,
Pete might have called some plays, Sean.
Yeah.
And the same thing in Kansas City. Man, Andy Reid, he's going to give some of that over to Eric, but, man, crunch time, Andy wants to take over that. We're going to go to Paul on the North Shore. Paul, you're in the huddle with Bobby, Mike, and Deuce.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
All right, Paul.
Hey, Paul, what you got?
There's a couple things, guys. I always text y'all, but I'm dealing with a bunch of kids over here. So what I wanted to do is two questions. So we got Sean Payton, and I know everybody's tired of talking about him. I'm tired of listening about him. So I think, like you said, the grass is not always greener on the other side. He's going over here, and he's looking around, and he's trying to figure out who's his front office, what's going on, blah, 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 blah. And he's understanding that maybe he didn't have it as bad as he was over here. So I don't understand where he's going to go from here on out. I'll let you guys comment on that after this. But the second thing is that Hendon Hooker. I'm a big fan of him, man. I think he's going to go in the first round somewhere. I'm telling you. I really think he's a great player. Second, and another thing is, I'm a Saints season ticket holder, and I've been one since 2003 when my dad wanted to give them up. And I was a young kid; I was about 12 years old, and I had to fight and scrap with my brother for 4 or 5 years just to hold on to them because I was a 12-year-old kid; I didn't have the money. Now I end up taking them over, and they were in my name in 2006, '07. And now I have no hope.
You better believe it.
I have no hope.
Oh, yeah, you have to have hope. You have to have hope. Don't be spoiled. Don't be spoiled rotten.
I'm not spoiled. I was there. But Dad was there since 67. And I was.
He saw some rough games is all I can tell you.
Yeah, but because it took 20 years till they had a winning season.
Yeah.
And I was part of that, so I know.
We couldn't even give the tickets away, and they were wanting to, hey, let's give it to this person, give it to this person. I was always going. And, you know, I was a young kid and whatnot. And then I still – this is the first year that I missed more than 2 games since I actually took them over in 2006, right before Katrina. I love D.A. I think he's a great coach. I think word of him, but I don't know. So I'm going to give him another year. So what do y'all think about if – I really don't want Sean back, but what happens after VA if he doesn't see this year?
Well, I'm going to ask Deuce that because I think I've talked to Mike about that. Okay, so what if Sean would go to Fox and it doesn't work out with DA? This is all hypothetical. It doesn't work out next season. Would Sean maybe come back? Because I think Ms. Gale wouldn't mind, because the stability may be making Sean Payton a $20 million a year coach. And that would be the 2024 season because he's with Fox and all that. Now, I know that's a lot that has to transpire.
Yeah, I mean, so you're giving me a ton of hypotheticals.
Right, yeah.
Bobby, if I have the correct lottery numbers, then I'm going to win the lottery as well.
No, if I win the Powerball, you're doing this with somebody.
Yeah. Correct. I mean, but I don't know what happens at that point. You know, do the Saints have interest? Because it wasn't like that they forced Sean out.
Right.
They gave him time to think about it. And so do the Saints really have interest in bringing you back? And then the next question becomes, how committed are you?
Okay.
How committed are you?
Left me once.
You left me once.
Okay. Well, you leave me twice.
You flirted with leaving me before until I made you one of the top three highest head coaches.
Highest
I know coach. This
yep.
for a fact. They didn't offer him 20, but it was over 15. So you just figure out yourself. It was
what?
Over 15.
And over 15 in Louisiana
and
is like 20
million
in California.
Million
but,
in California.
Yeah,
I'm
but
telling you.
He didn't take it, and he
right.
still decided to retire.
Okay, I have a question for you. Okay, now, dude, think about this.
And I'll answer it after the break, but come on.
Okay, if I think he saw the light at the end of the tunnel trying to stay one step ahead, if we had a Justin Herbert or some quarterback that maybe he thought the transition from Drew Brees, I don't think he quits. I think with Jameis Winston. Do you know when Jameis Winston, the winning record?
That ain't a question, Bobby. You got to hurry up and give me the question. We got a break.
That's a comment.
Okay.
But it's a question in the comment.
Okay, listen. We threw for 185 yards with Jameis Winston. I think if Sean Payton thought Jameis Winston was the answer, he wouldn't have left. Yes or no?
No. That's not correct, but I'll answer it completely
okay,
after the break.
You have
all right,
to explain
Deuce will
that.
Answer that right
that.
After we take this break here on the Big 870. We're finishing up here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike DePay, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister, repeating the news that we had in the 5 o'clock hour, Ryan Nielsen, who is the co-defensive coordinator, defensive line coach for the Saints, has left, and he will be the defensive coordinator now for the Atlanta Falcons. And, you know, Ryan's one hell of a coach, and hate to see him lose. Anytime you lose a top coach like Ryan, who's really done a great job with the defensive line, the big losses. Now he goes to your rival in the NFC South. So Ryan Nielsen off to Atlanta. Another interesting story, Todd Monken, who is the offensive coordinator at University of Georgia, who has coached in the NFL, is interviewing today with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So that could be a big loss for the Georgia program if Todd Monken decides to leave Georgia and go back to the NFL. Remember, he was with Jacksonville for a while, former Southern Miss coach. So this is the time of year you see a lot of movement, a lot of people heading around, so forth, so on, in the National Football League and also in college football. And, again, with Ryan going to Atlanta, Monken now interviewing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I know that's one guy Kirby Smart wanted to keep, and he hopes to still keep him. But interviewing today with Todd Bowles and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Todd Monken.
Well, yeah, Todd Monken knows what he's doing, Mike. Now, talk about in the hot seat, I think it's very similar to Dennis Allen. I mean, Todd Bowles, Dennis Allen, I think they're in the same boat. Even
very
though they made
similar.
The play also, what's going to happen with
so
Tampa?
What's hot?
Make sure
what do you consider hot? And then the question is,
yeah,
Bobby.
Yeah, hot. Yeah, yeah. You have to have a light at the end of the tunnel. Like go to the playoffs.
You don't want the light to be the train.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have to. You probably have to show improvement
yes.
on this past year.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that qualifies you for the playoffs, though.
Well,
on this team, it might not. Both. It might not.
The bottom
both teams.
Line,
because if Brady leaves, what do they have? They're right back in the same position.
No, to me, Carolina is the team that they got a built-in defense, the running attack, the offensive line's pretty good. If they can get a quarterback and another receiver, they sprint to the front of the line.
You can say that about all
about
four
everybody.
Teams in the NFC South.
But,
yeah.
But they got a young football team that I think – it's really close, really, really close.
So if they can't agree with Brian Burns, what do? You going to just franchise him and let him be mad?
No, I pay Brian Burns.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying they got some issues as well. But I mean, cap wise, they're in a fairly good position.
Because Burns, if I couldn't sign him, I would have dealt him.
Yeah, because they could have got two first round picks.
Yeah, but the first round picks didn't start until like 24 or 2025.
Well, okay.
The Rams don't even have a first
they
round
pick.
They
don't have this one this year.
So, there was no
the road.
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, I can trade those if that's what you'd have taken. But, Bobby, I don't see Sean coming back to coach. after sitting out a year. So, and I didn't see him coming back to coach if Jameis was – he thought that Jameis had a long-term future here in New Orleans.
Man, Jameis is an NFL quarterback.
But you asked me to answer the question, and I
answered it. So he got it.
And Jameis is an NFL quarterback, but he's a journeyman. He is – he's Andy Dalton. Like, he's not a franchise guy.
All right, Bobby, end it for us tonight.
All right. Bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who that? Go Saints. Go Saints. Hopefully.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.